So it's been mentioned already, so you guys, it's no secret. But my son is going to be able to bring the message today, and it's been a pleasure to be able to share a little bit. I had to keep in mind the belt system in Taekwondo, and I'm like, don't give him the black belt stuff yet. Just give him some of the yellow belt stuff and just give him some pointers. And I tried to kind of guide him along and not do a whole lot of it. So really what he's prepared is from his heart. It's what he's put together, and I've just kind of tried to keep him between the yellow lines, you know. We've talked a lot about this church and what you guys have done. This is the only church he's ever known. Like, he's never been anywhere else. He was born here. He was the result of some older ladies that sat right there when I first started, for some reason, I don't know why he was asking, but he said, what year were you born? This morning he asked me, I said, 74, and he said, so how old were you when you got here? And I was like, well, I've been here 16 years. I'm 47, so I'd have been 31. When I first started here, we had a group of older ladies that sat right there, and they asked, you know, like, older ladies don't hold back. And they said, why don't you guys have any kids yet? And I said, well, we've been trying for 4 years, and I don't think we can. So they said, we're going to pray about that. And then along came Isaiah. And along came Judah right after. So we told them, stop praying, stop praying, stop praying. We're good. We're good. So originally we wanted 3 kids, and then someone told us that you don't want an odd number. And so we were like, well, we can do 4. And then we had boys, and we said, 2. 2's good. 2's good. So he grew up here. This is his church. And I've been very, very careful with him. In fact, it's kind of funny because David stepped across the line early with me, and I came out after him like a lion. But if I've had the conversation with any of you guys, I have never allowed anyone here to call my kids preacher's kids or PKs. It's not fair to put them in a category and put them under a microscope. You put me under a microscope. I chose to follow the calling and to go into this job. They didn't choose that. And so I've been very particular about that. And if I've had that conversation with any of you, you know I go from ha-ha to fun dusty, you know, confetti and whatever, but to no, that's not going to happen with my kids. And I've done that. I was given that advice very early in my ministry, and I've stayed very tight to it. So his decision to want to chase ministry, to be a minister someday, to be able to speak today, that's all on him and him, between him and God. And so that's pretty, pretty awesome to know. So without further ado, I'll introduce my son, Isaiah Delafield.
Oh, yeah. I got it. Cool, thanks. Oh, there's still verses up here. Okay, cool. So I did things like Dad would do them this morning. So I woke up, almost fell back to sleep. I brushed my teeth, putting extra emphasis on spitting really loudly. I turned off the microwave, then opened it to avoid the radiation. And I brushed my hair excessively, even after it was in the place it's supposed to be. I'm assuming there's some reason why Dad does things the way he does in the morning. Haven't seen the impact yet, but plan to see it later. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please help me. Please help my words to be understood and help them to be what someone needs to hear today. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So over the course of our lives, we're taught and told what it means to be a Christian, whether it's not true or true, what they say. But what does it really mean? Let's look to what Jesus did throughout his life. Even in the earliest time of his career, Jesus loved others. In John 13:34, he said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." There we go. Love in this verse translates to agape, which is unselfish love or self-giving love. This unselfish love is very not normal in our modern society or even the society back when Jesus lived. So it's meant to be kind of a sign that we're Christians, that we're different. We should seem different. Virginia Beach, CIY, the men's retreat that we went on recently are all places where that unselfish love is at least semi-evident. People, there's a special bond between the people that are there. Multiple times in the Gospels, Jesus is seen to pray. So Jesus prays. You know, I prayed in Dad's office just before I came out here. I prayed this morning at 9-something. We've seen, as a church, the impact that praying has on people, or just the idea that they're being prayed for, raises their spirits with the prayer quilts and things. When people get them, they're very excited to have them. They understand the importance of prayer and the effect that it has on them. We've seen it help people tremendously. So Jesus prayed. Jesus laid down his life for us. The end of his life before he came back 3 days later. In John 10:11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." He didn't just mean good shepherd, he meant model shepherd. So if as the model shepherd, he lays down his life, we're trying to be shepherds too, so we should lay down our lives too if we're called to do so. In John 15:13, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." I've seen throughout my life that, don't want to talk about him the whole time, but Dad laid down his life in a way. He's often really emotionally tired after Sundays, pretty dry on Mondays. There have been a few times, maybe a year ago or so, when he had to leave in the middle of dinner to go comfort someone in the hospital or go pray with someone. He spends time doing funerals, weddings, hospital visits, marriage counseling, preparing the sermon, praise band practice occasionally when he's playing piano or drums or guitar. So he spends a lot of his time doing that because that's his calling. That's what God called him to do. Similar to love, very early in Jesus' career, he was seen to be patient. In Mark 3:22-28, "And the teachers of the law came down from Jerusalem and said, 'He is possessed by Satan. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons.' So Jesus called over to them and began to speak to them in parable. 'How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter." This shows Jesus being patient. The teachers of the law, the religious authorities, the tall hat people, he needed a certain amount of patience whenever he interacted with these people, because from what's written, they seem to have a very annoying nature to them, very high-pitched voice, in a way. In John 8:6-11, he says, when the woman was caught in adultery, they brought her to him and asked, "What should we do?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him, but Jesus bent down and started to write on the dirt on the ground with his finger. There's a lot of people try and speculate what he's writing in the dirt. I think he's just letting them stew for a minute, let them fry. They kept on questioning him, and he straightened up and said, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away at one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No, no one, sir," she said. "Then go. Neither do I condemn you. Go now and live your life free of sin." He uses patience in this verse as well, because he could just say, "Doesn't matter, do whatever you want, do what you are. You're the religious authorities here," and walked away. But instead, he took it as a teaching opportunity. And he also showed forgiveness in this verse. which brings us to our next subject. Jesus was forgiving all throughout his life. Jesus died a brutal death on the cross, and even while he was on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." This is Luke 23:34. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The cross was an awful and a shameful death of the time. And he still wanted a second chance for the Romans who had done it to him and the religious leaders. He's laying down his life in this verse, and he's forgiving them. So that ties in the 2 points. Throughout our lives, there are a lot of people, obviously, not as bad as Jesus, people that, there's not really anyone that killed us, but there are a lot of people that are hard to forgive, but Jesus is forgiving the people that killed him, so we might need to try pretty hard to follow his example. All these things... as it's empty. Oh, no. No, the points, the bulletin points. There we go. All these things Jesus calls us to do. In 1 Chronicles 15:11, he says, "Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually." He wants us to be like Jesus because Jesus was the good shepherd. He was the model shepherd. He was doing as we should do as Christians. Jesus spent his whole life doing these things, doing the things he told us to do. Even as he died on the cross and after he rose again, he did the things he tells us to do. On August 2nd, 2015, I was baptized. At the time, I was 8, and at that moment, I had committed to following Jesus' example until I die. Bow with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we can be unified as a church. I ask that you help each and everyone to be more like you. Help them show the world what it really means to be a Christian. Thank you for the opportunity to share with them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.